Carrie's Couch. Carrie's Couch.
Today on Carrie's Couch, it is an unfortunate story that hopefully will have an ending that's going to make a positive impact in many, many lives. It was a terrible story that happened on the 24th of February, 2020, and a woman was shot and killed in her home. And with us this morning is her daughter, Taryn Newport. I'm just going to get straight into it. Hello, Taryn. Welcome to Carrie's Couch.
Hi. Thank you so much.
All right. So how Taryn, are you? I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm really grateful that you're talking to us. The date I just mentioned, 24th of February, 2020, the anniversary is now. How are you feeling?
Absolutely horrible. But also, yeah, no, I'm good. Staying strong.
But again, I'm so grateful that you're talking to us. It's so, so soon still to be able to be so open. So Taryn, let's just get straight into it. I'm talking to you today because you have lost your mom and then very shortly afterwards your dad within the last year. You've decided to take matters into your own hands and to do something about it. But let's go back to what happened, Taryn, if it's okay. First of all, it's you and how many siblings?
So it's myself and my brother Jason and my brother Andrew.
Are you the big sister, the middle sister, or the baby sister?
I'm the oldest sister.
You're the eldest, all right. And mom, dad, Jason, Andrew, and you, did you all live together still up until a couple years ago, or have you all grown up and done your own lives? Were mom and dad still married, still living together?
Yeah, so it's quite a story. My brother Jason was living in Durban with my dad, and I was actually living in Cape Town for 3 years. And yeah, myself, my husband, we wanted to move closer to family. So that December, before it happened, we moved back to Durban to be close to family. And then, yeah, and then this happened. But my brother Andrew, he stays in a game reserve called Kapama, and he's the game ranger there. He's very, very, very accomplished in what he does. There's some social media and that. So we all kind of went our own paths. We weren't living with them, but we made the most of the time that we did spend with them. My dad and mom, they were still married, absolutely. They just lived in separate places most of the time. So my mom ran the farm in Rosetta, and then she did her BMP three ways. And she lived with her best friend, Kiki. And my dad, he actually lived in Durban, and they would just meet every so often and spend time and that sort of thing. They both preferred different lifestyles. So my dad preferred the city and my mom preferred like the farm life. So that's where they were at.
So you and your husband, you moved to Durban in December 2019.
Yes.
Your mom, Trish, she was at her home at the farm in Rosetta with her best friend, Kiki. Kiki, is this the woman from Canada?
Yes, she's from Canada. And they lived together. They were best friends. Well, they still are.
Still are best
friends. They were best friends. And they stayed together there. And it was very, very comfortable for them. And she ran that B&B. And that's what she did.
Okay, so we know that you guys as a family were a tight family. Your mom had stayed on the farm. Had your mom felt safe on the farm? Had she ever said that she felt unsafe living there?
She absolutely felt safe. She was very cautious, which she never was before. And then eventually she started being more aware. I mean, from about 2 years ago, she started being more aware. She started locking the door. She started, making sure that the house was secure, being careful, not being outside too late. If there was guests, making sure she knew everything about the guest that's coming. You know, she was very careful. She knew she was on a farm and it's not the safest, and she had to be careful.
So Taryn, we're going to get into it now. The night of the 24th of February, 2020, from what you've heard, what happened?
So basically my mother and Kiki were sitting in the lounge. And they were eating ice cream. They were eating ice cream in the lounge. Everything was locked. What her friend shared with me was that in her bathroom, she would leave the window open in the bathroom so that the cat could come in and out of the bathroom. And she left that window open, but everything else was obviously locked. So at about 9, somewhere around that time, two guys came running down the passage and they held the guns up to my mom's best friend, Kiki, and said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And then she was like, "No, I'm here with my best friend. What do you mean?" And then basically the robbers were like, they saw my mom and my mom said, "Hey," like, because there was a gun to Kiki's head, and she said, "Hey." The next minute, the guy went up to my mom and shot her in the chest, and she didn't even talk. And then after that, they apparently took Kiki into the room and they tied her up and things. Hmm. And then there was a 16,000 rand phone on the table, wasn't touched. They took the TV, they threw it on the ground. They took the other TV, they took it off. They put them into my mom's car. They they just trashed the place, basically. They threw all her rings on the floor. They didn't steal the wedding ring. They didn't steal much. They just stole two TVs and then they ripped off the safe. And when they did that, obviously there was no key for it. They couldn't find it. And then they left. They took my mom's car and they left. They drove off and they ended up parking it at the SPCA, outside the SPCA in a field in Moy River. They just dumped the car and they obviously went their own way. But that's the story that I've heard. They said to Kiki that she's old. Like, they kept saying, "She's old, she's a go-go, she's old. Don't touch her." So that was the story from what I've heard and pieced together.
And from the way you're saying it, like, there was the wedding rings untouched, the phones untouched. Yeah. Are you doubting whether this was a random robbery?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Look, my mom was the kindest, sweetest, most honest person. She was always there for people. And I think, yeah, by the looks of it, it wasn't a robbery. Definitely not a robbery. I can't say what it is. I mean, obviously, since it happened, I've been trying to figure out why. But I can't say, you know, I don't know. I don't think she had any enemies. And yeah, I don't think it was a robbery. Definitely not. But I can't really say what it was.
And it's been a year since it happened. Has any leads, any suspects, anything? Or do you still feel like it's up in the air?
Up in the air. But also how I feel about that is, even if they did have to catch these guys, nothing that could ever happen on this earth could ever bring justice to it. And nothing will ever bring her back. So for me, I'm not like so fixated on finding who did it, just because it doesn't soothe me. Even if I did know, I don't think anything will ever like make me at peace with what happened. But what makes me at peace with doing life a little bit more now is that I feel like she's at peace, and I feel like my dad's at peace, and I believe that they're in good hands and they're watching down on us and wanting us to make them proud. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to work as a prayer.
So look, I know that you have started something really special because of what's happened. But before that, what happened with your dad? He wasn't there in the night.
So what happened with my dad is he phoned me to tell me what happened. And then obviously when this tragedy happened, he had to stay at the farm. He had to stay at the farm and he had to, you know, take over what my mom was doing there. And when he did that, see, he worked on projects. So oftentimes he wasn't working. And then when he was working a project, he'd be working overseas. But now obviously there wasn't any work at that time, so he ended up obviously going to the farm, running the business, doing everything to do with the farm. And while he was doing that, lockdown happened. And when lockdown happened, we couldn't visit my dad. So we ended up being in Durban. We couldn't visit my dad during that time. And then when we could, as soon as that level went lower, we could then visit him. So when we could, as soon as we could, we jumped in the car and we drove to Moy River and we spent time with my dad. But that first day when I got there, the first day I got there, I was like, hello daddy, you know, I gave him the biggest hug. I was so happy to see him, and I could see and feel inside of me that something was not right. Like, he was not okay. I could feel it inside, and I just was crying. And he's like, why are you crying? I said, there's something wrong. What's going on? Are you okay? Whatever. And then anyways, he said, I'm fine. We're spending time as a family this weekend, and I kept wanting to take him to hospital because I just felt like there was something wrong. And he was sitting there, you know, we were spending time like we always do, listening to music and stuff. I still cooked him supper. And then he wasn't eating. He was sitting there and he would fall asleep randomly. And I said, no, this isn't like my dad. And then throughout the weekend, I just kept wanting to take him to the doctor. And he kept saying, Taryn, we're spending time. We haven't seen each other in so long. Aww. I just want my family. Then eventually, at the end of the weekend, Sunday, we were meant to leave. Because obviously, we all had to get back to work and that. And when I actually ended up wanting to go back, I said, I'm not leaving. I'm taking you to the hospital. So he said, okay, Taryn, you're not going to drop this. We can go to the hospital. So I took him to the hospital, and they booked him in immediately. And they said, you know, it could be the liver. It could be your heart. It could be, you know, all sorts of things they were throwing at me. And I said, please, no, like, this cannot happen. And I was just, you know, and then they booked him in to the hospital, and then he went straight to ICU. And I'd phoned him the first 2 days, and he was talking to me, but he'd miss like 6 calls and maybe take one. And then when I did talk to him, you know, he was talking like he normally would. I think he was staying strong. And then the next day I tried to phone, me and my brothers were also there. We got my brother from the game reserve to come back, come to the farm, because we were worried. Obviously, we wanted him there as well to go do this together. And then obviously then I tried to phone, and the nurse said, sorry, but he's sleeping. So I said, okay, I'll try again in a bit. Then I kept trying, and they kept sleeping. And then it just got worse. And then there was hope. And one of the days there was a little bit of hope where the doctor said, you know, he's woken up. And then we went to visit him, but we could only do it one at a time. So I would go in the one day and my brother would go in the next day. And, you know, when they give you information, you're not a doctor. So sometimes information gets relayed and no one understands what you're saying. So it's quite hard. And then when the siblings try to phone the doctor's like, I've already explained it. It's like, no, like, just explain it again. There's 3 children. We all want to know what's going on, obviously. And then, so anyway, it goes on. And then eventually, it wasn't long. And then he was in basically in a coma.
Sure.
And then they were saying that he's having right-hand heart failure. And they saved him a few times with the... Like, they saved him. He was, his heart was failing, and then they saved him. And then his heart was failing, and they saved him. And I kept saying, no, he's going to pull through this. Like, we had no other option. We just wanted him to pull through this. And then, and then eventually, the one day we get a call saying, hi, please come in to say goodbye. We were all wrecked. We couldn't believe what we were hearing. We couldn't believe it. And then we got to the hospital. We ran up to where my dad was, and they said, I'm sorry, he's gone.
Oh, my
gosh. So we all looked at each other, and we were like just obviously devastated, angry. We just stood there. It was like in shock. Then they're like, do you want to go and say goodbye? I said, no, we've said things every day, you know, in his ear, saying how much we love him, saying, please, you know, pull through this. And then when he was gone, we didn't go to his bedside and say things, because we felt like we'll say them on our own, and we wanted to remember when he was alive. And yeah, so then we just walked away from the bed, and then it was just the worst. Like, our whole world's crashed down, honestly. And then we just, as 3 children that are devastated in their own way, we were trying to figure out, what are we going to do? Because now we have this farm with all the expenses. We have obviously the business my mom was running, then my dad was running, and now we've never done it before. So all 3 of us are just, you know, stunned. So Andrew, obviously,
I was going to say to you, because you are 3 children who within a year, you lose your mom. And I mean, in a in a world where there's a global pandemic, many, many families have had to say unexpected goodbyes to family members due to COVID-19. But COVID-19 and a murder at home, two very, very different situations. You had to go through that with your family and then your dad passing away so shortly afterwards. And this is actually how I found out about you. I saw something about a master defense training program with professional training to fight like a girl, which I think is amazing. And there's going to be an event you're holding. And I'm just going to use a quote here from you. It says, to gain invaluable knowledge about steps you can take to prevent yourself from becoming a victim. Fight like a girl will be demonstrating basic, effective, natural techniques to remember should you ever need to, hopefully you won't, that you will have the opportunity to demonstrate and discuss what you will do once you've finished the training. You're going to be doing situational awareness, body language, and what attackers look for in a victim. You're going to learn anti-hijacking tips and fight and flight reactions. Also, you learn what happens to the body when you are under attack and how to control your body in this space, and also understand basic techniques that can be used, as well as how to use everyday items as a weapon. As much as I wish this is not something we needed to do, this sounds fantastic, Taryn. This is incredible. Can you tell me a bit more about this event? Where is it happening? How do we get involved? Because, I mean, this really is a necessity, unfortunately.
Yes. So the event, it's going to be taking place on the farm, Three Ways Getaway. It's based in Rosetta. Basically, it's going to happen on the 2nd of April, which is a Friday. Just in case there's too many people, then we'll make another one the next day. Because with COVID, you have a regulation of how many people you can have at the event. So it will be from 8 in the morning all the way through to 3:30. Lunch will be provided, spot prizes. You know, it will be learning the essential things we need to learn in the world that we're living in. And you will also have fun with it, because obviously you're going to have lunch, you're going to be learning things you need to know, and you're also going to have spot prizes throughout the day. So there's a lot of involvement with the community. And it's going to be a lot of fun and very essential. I would recommend anyone to send their family to this. The way it came up was I actually wanted to learn for myself how to keep us out of dangerous situations. I thought, what if this ever had to happen? How would I protect my family? I never want this to happen again to anyone I love. And I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy to go through what we've been through. So yeah, there's nothing much in Nottingham Road, wherever area, that people can actually do this kind of thing. So I just thought it would be really useful.
And Taryn, is it for girls only, or can guys also come in?
It's for everyone. You know, guys need it as much as girls do. There's always this thing about, you know, guys are macho, guys don't need it. You know, everyone needs it. Do you know what I mean? Everyone needs to be more aware. Everyone needs to be more cautious. I'll give you an example. If you're one person, people don't come rob the house with one person. They come with six. So even if, say, for instance, you have a gun license, and, you know, it's not going to protect you against six people. So this will teach you, like, how to be aware, how to make sure you are not a victim, how to keep your family safe, how you can live being careful, but also live. You know what I'm saying? So, I think it's going to be really useful, and it's for everyone, children, dads, moms, you know, the elderly, anyone that would be interested in doing something like this.
And Taryn, if for me, maybe to get to Moy River, Nottingham Roadside, Rosetta by 8 a.m. is super early. Is there any sound, or are you guys offering some sort of accommodation or a special for people going to do the course?
Yes, so there'll be accommodation. If a person would like to stay over, it would be 300 rand a person. And, you know, we've got beautiful accommodation there. And also, if that accommodation's filled up, because obviously the accommodation fits 23 people, if it's filled up, then there are other B&Bs around the area, like numerous ones. So, the truth of those.
I just want to reiterate again, this master defense training, you're going to obviously have a professional come in and teach it, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so Fight Like a Girl is just one of the best training facilitators. They have a group of people that teach you everything you need to know, all of the basics, and they teach you from scratch. So yeah, it's the knowledge and it's the actions. So they let you do the actions that they teach you, and then you'll do them back to the people, the group that's teaching it. And then they will obviously be like, okay, that's fantastic, or do this a bit differently, or, you know, they help you, they guide you through
this it. Sounds incredible. And just to reiterate, this is what's going to be demonstrating. They're going to be techniques that are basic, effective, and natural, which I think is so just, it's just really important that it's natural and something that's easy for those of us who've never done anything like this. Also situational awareness and body language. So to know what your target is looking for. So when I walk, I must not to have my phone in my hand, not to be looking down, like all these things that maybe we didn't before. And then how to see the what is around you right now, and what could you use to defend yourself that is in your immediate environment. And these are all literally life-saving devices. And unfortunately for you, Taryn, your mom didn't even have an opportunity to go that
far.
And you're giving that opportunity. So I just want to say thank you so much. If someone is keen to book, Taryn, is there an email address or a website? How do we get hold of you to book a space?
Yes, you are welcome to use the number 082-820-5957, or you could email us on threewaysgetaway@outlook.com.
So three ways, the number three written out, T-H-R-E-E.
No, so it's the word, so it's T-H-R-E-E-W-A-S.
Yes, three ways getaway.
At outlook.com. Yeah.
And the cost per person for the actual defense course?
It's $450 per person. And that includes obviously your lunch.
Okay, excellent. And is there an age limit? How, if I have my daughter, she's 15, can I bring her with?
Yes, absolutely. I think, I don't want to lie to you, I think it's 11 years old.
11,
that you need to be, 11 and up, yeah. What's nice is that it also teaches people to avoid the situation completely, which is why I chose these ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because you'd rather avoid it than have to deal with it. But either way, they're just the best that I could find. So I think it will be good.
Well, Taryn, I cannot thank you enough for talking to us. And I really, it's not even, I can't say it's a catch 22. It's not a catch 22. What happened to you was horrific. Yeah. I think all I can say is, on behalf of every single person who's going to learn something at this course that you're doing, thank you for trying, at least. Thank you for trying to do something with the situation.
Oh, thank you so much. You're just amazing.
No, you are, you really. And so much love to your family and your brothers. And Taryn, thanks so much, man. I'm giving you the biggest virtual hug in the world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.